Okay. Very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. We are still early, about 3 more minutes before we start. 8:10, we will start the puja. So in the meantime, you can nominate 2 persons. Maybe tonight, we get Mi Fong and Sui An to light. Mi Fong just came back. Okay, yeah. Tien Teng. Ni Kang Hui Lai. So Ni Kang Sui An Lai. Wow. Sadu. Oh, Liang Ke Yi Chi La. Someone every go one along. And tonight I got one question. Somebody text to me. Good. So tonight we got enough question. That's why you all must attempt to give question. Okay, let us stand. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Okay, thank you so much. You all can be seated. Then we will start our puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the sadha, the faith in the Buddha and his teaching, then the virya, spiritual zeal. Then mindfully we shall recite. Arahang sama sambuto bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 1. Then we will commence the salutation to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Pariyampi suddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapamadatana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of like. Ganna sarappa dittena, dittena tamadang sina, tiloka dipang sambuddhang, pujayami tamonudang, ganda sambarayutena, dopena hang sugang hina pujaya yaniyang tang puja bacana mutamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindasa. Siri pada sarorohe puje mi buddhang kusumena nena punena ca na ca hotu mokhang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bawang. Adivase tu no bante Paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang adivase tunobante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang adivase tunobante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang. Let us make the puja aspiration based on the understanding of the significance of all this offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May these offerings of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect. Triple gem. Bhadang pajami. Dhammang pajami. Sanghang pajami. Okay, you all can be seated. Okay, tonight we should have more time, for meditation, because everybody has been here before, So we will off the light. Then for those who have already developed the ability to meditate, you can straight away start your meditation. Oh, okay. Oh, he's new. Yeah. You are most welcome, Brother Yi. Sadhu. You meditate before? Oh, good. So you know the Buddhist teaching? Oh, very good. So very easy. Okay. What I will do is, I will off the light, so that those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away proceed and do your meditation. For those who are new, who still need instruction, I will give you, you can offer sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. I will give you some simple instruction and explanation, so that you will understand. Then maybe for Brother Yi afterwards, remind me to give you some books. There is this seminar book on understanding the essence of the Buddha's teaching and how it can help improve the human value and the human life. Then it can also bring about success in life through this understanding. Maybe Suyan passed him. Then there's another two book on the transcript on meditation. They are all there, three. So you can, after your session here, when you are free, go through it. Then you don't have to remember anything because most of the things are already there. So you only have to pay attention, listen attentively, have an open mind. Because for people who have done meditation before, your meditation could be different, but don't worry. I will explain to you. You can actually use whatever method and technique that you are familiar with, but you only need to understand the real understanding of meditation. Means you have to meditate with understanding. You don't meditate because people tell us this is the way to meditate. And later on, we will come to a very clear understanding that all method and technique are just skillful means to enable us to train our mind so that this mind can be heedful, so that this mind is not heedlessly thinking or wandering off. So the wandering thought comes from heedlessness. So I will explain this. Okay, for those who already know how to meditate, you proceed. For those who are new, you listen carefully. According to Lord Buddha, our mind, they are mostly not peaceful because living beings do not train this mind and they lack the spiritual faculty, the five spiritual faculty of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya. Instead, due to their heedlessness and their delusion, there arise a lot of mental hindrance. So these five mental hindrance are the opposite five, which will make the mind heedless, think a lot, hinders the mind from becoming peaceful. Like the word hindrance, they are mental state that hinders the cultivator from becoming peaceful, from becoming aware within, mindful. So this is the cause of heedlessness. So when we understand this, we only need to develop the opposite five spiritual faculty to counter them. The five mental hindrance, they are on the whiteboard later on, you can see it. They are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, or lethargic mind. Then restlessness of mind. The last one is doubt. So these five, they arise frequently in the mind of living beings, especially those who are heedless, who don't have the training of the mind to become peaceful. So the mental hindrance hinders you from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness within. That's the reason why you are not peaceful. So the Buddha advises us to cultivate the spiritual faculty to counter them, to overcome them. But you don't go and fight the hindrance. Don't try to control the hindrance or suppress them. No. When the spiritual faculty is there, the five mental hindrance, they will cease on their own. So what we will do is, we will follow the advice of the Buddha to develop the spiritual faculty. That's why we have our puja. The puja is to constantly remind us of the teaching, to remind us of the importance of the triple gem, the importance of taking refuge, the importance of keeping precepts, and the importance of understanding the nine great virtues of the Buddha. That's why we chant the salutation to the Buddha, then to remind us of the importance of understanding clearly what the Dhamma is. And the third gem, which is the Sangha, the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. So through this puja, we develop the faith in the Buddha and his teaching, the spiritual faculty of Saddha. And when we see how great the Buddha is, how wise and how virtuous he is, we will be motivated to learn this teaching. That's how virya, the second spiritual faculty, comes about. So when virya arises, it will drive you to cultivate, to develop the mindfulness, which is the third spiritual faculty. Then through our training to chant mindfully, we also develop mindfulness. Then when we make puja offering, we also rejoice to have the wholesome mind state. And at the same time, develop the mindfulness to be aware of everything that is going on. How we receive the offering, how we rejoice, and how we make the offering, then how we pass it on. We do it mindfully. Then we are observant, we are attentive. We are mindful of all the activity that is going on. So this is to cultivate daily mindfulness, sati. Then our form of meditation here is to stabilize this mindfulness. Yeah. Then all of our movement and action, especially the four postures, we have to maintain mindfulness. Yeah. Like what the Buddha taught us in the four foundations of mindfulness. Especially kayanupassana. After you have trained your mind using anapanasati or any skillful means, then you use that mindfulness to cultivate the daily mindfulness. Initially, it's the mindfulness of the four postures, then the sati sampajana, which is mindfulness and clear comprehension of all movement or action in the present moment. So when we do puja with faith, with understanding, with the sadha, virya, and the sati, we cultivate the spiritual faculty. Then when we stabilize them, our mind becomes different. The spiritual faculty will allow you to develop spiritual teaching. Then it will allow you to overcome the mental hindrance. Without the mental hindrance, you are naturally peaceful. You are naturally aware. You are always in the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness. So when you understand this, meditation becomes very simple. But most people don't have spiritual faculty because they don't know how to train. They don't know how to develop it through a proper religious routine. The lack of understanding makes the mind weak. The mind thinks a lot, heedless, constantly wandering off. So that's the reason why we have to give you instruction to train this thinking mind, the heedless mind, so that it can be centered. So that it can be mindful and aware within. Then from there, we will teach you a skillful means, which the Buddha recommended, anapanasati, to stabilize it, so that you are most of the time aware, mindful of the in and out breath. Then you carry this mind state into the daily life to cultivate the four posture, mindfulness of the four posture, leading to sati sampajana, which is the daily mindfulness. Then from there, your understanding will unfold. Then the other four foundation of mindfulness practices, you will be able to cultivate them. Then you can awaken. Okay, now I will give you the instruction to overcome your mental hindrance. So I will teach you a very simple mind sweeping method or body scanning to allow you to decondition your heedless thinking so that you just feel and relax. You don't think anymore. So this mind sweeping method I will combine with loving kindness, metta, because the mind sweeping method can bring about inner peace, inner calmness. But the inner well-being comes from metta, loving kindness. So the benefits of meditation, the initial benefits are very important. That is, the training of the mind brings about inner peace, then bring about inner well-being. With inner peace and inner well-being, when you stabilize it, you have clarity of mind. When the mind is mindful without thought, it has clarity. Then with clarity, it can understand things clearly. It can see things as they are. That's why when sati stabilizes, it becomes samadhi. And sati and samadhi will make the mind very different, very calm, very peaceful, unwavering, collected. That's why you can see things as they are without the conditioning from your views, opinion, and your conditioned mind. Then you can understand truth. That's why you will realize the fifth spiritual faculty, wisdom. When you can see things as they are, you will have wisdom. You will understand clearly. You will be able to insight into the characteristics of nature, especially the three universal characteristics of impermanent suffering state leading to non-self or empty nature of all phenomena or existence. Okay, now I will give you the instruction to meditate, to decondition your heedless thinking through mind-sweeping method. Relax body and mind, completely relax. Free your mind, relax your body. Make sure it's all relaxed, then silent. Close your eye, make sure your backbone is straight. Make sure you have a stable posture. If you cannot sit, you can sit on a chair or a couch. Then if you got problem with your leg, you don't have to cross your leg. What you need is just a stable posture to allow you to maintain the quietness to train your mind. Then maintain attention at your forehead. Feel, don't think, just feel your forehead. If there's any tension, any tightness or any stress within, just feel it and relax it. Feel all the muscle within your forehead. Feel it and relax it. Feel them soothingly. Relax, relax, and relax into them. Then you move your attention down to your facial muscle together with your eye muscle. Just feel wherever there's any tension, any tightness, any stress within, you just relax it. After a tired day, normally your eye muscle, your facial muscle are quite tense. So you just feel, then relax, then you sweep it down to your facial muscle, feel, relax. Then to assist you to relax further, you can visualize yourself radiating a radiant smile. Yeah. When you visualize yourself in a mirror radiating a radiant smile, you will have joy. And when you have joy, your facial muscle will relax because there is no stress. When you are happy, peaceful, there is joy. Then you can radiate this love or metta. We are following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel it when you recite. May I, this body and mind of mine. You feel your entire body and your mind having this well-being and happiness. Be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the entire being or entire body, all your bodily cell, each and every one of them, that they are peaceful, that they are having this well-being within. The inner peace, the inner well-being is very important. So you can read it, repeat. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel the well-being inside you and the happiness within you. Then you continue to read it. May I, this body and mind of mine too, be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. free from all harm and danger. Then you can continue to read it. May this mind of ours too be free from all suffering, free from all mental suffering, free from all physical suffering. May its mind state still be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then we can relate the same metta to our loved ones. May all our loved ones to be well, happy and peaceful. From your heart, feel it and radiate it out to them. You can visualize them if you want to. May they all too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they all too keep themselves happy and peaceful, always. May their mind states too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we can continue to read it. May all beings within this vicinity of Subhangjaya, including all Kayanamitas, co-cultivator and meditator, and all beings within the whole of Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, and all beings within our entire solar system, our galaxy, our Milky Way, and all beings throughout the entire existence. May they all too be well, happy and peaceful. May their mind states too be free from all harm and danger, free from all physical suffering and mental suffering. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they always keep themselves happy and peaceful, always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. You just relax and silent and just maintain the peacefulness. Then we come back to the facial muscle. We just feel relaxed. Then we sweep it down further to our neck. Feel relaxed. Shoulder, feel relaxed. Don't think. Then we move our hand. Feel relaxed. Back to shoulder. Then we move down to our chest, our heart area. And this is the most important location within our body. This is where the seat of consciousness is. This is where our life force arise and pass away. This is where our heartbeat arise and pass away. You just silence everything and just feel. Don't think, feel. If you have good mindfulness, you can detect your own vibration within your chest area. Any vibration or even your heartbeat, you should be able to detect them. But if you are new, don't worry. Yeah? You just feel like you feel your forehead. Then any tension, any tightness, any stress with it, you just feel it soothingly relax, relax and relax. Relax every part of it. Mm. Then for those who are already quite skillful in their mindfulness, if the mindfulness become very subtle, very quiet, then if it drop to your heart, you just relax and silence everything and just feel, don't think, feel. Then you can detect your own heartbeat or the vibration that is most prominent within your heart area. Then you stay there. Just be aware. Be with that vibration. As you stay silent and quiet and peaceful, the mind will settle down. It will become more and more subtle. Initially, like you can detect the very gross heartbeat or vibration. Then you can feel like the very long pupa like that. Don't worry. You just relax and allow it to be. Then after a while, as you become more quiet, more peaceful and more calm, this vibration will slow down until later on. It becomes so subtle and so quiet, like you don't breathe at all. Then the whole of the heartbeat also becomes so subtle, like there is no more heartbeat. But then you can stay there. And yet, without any movement, your mind does not wander off anymore, like before. It's already in sati. Means the mind does not need anywhere to hold it. Means it don't need any method or technique to stabilize it, to center it. Means this mind is already in sati, capable of being mindful on its own, without support, without a skillful means, without a method or technique. This is the ultimate aim of all meditation. When you have this ability to meditate until your mind becomes so quiet, so peaceful, so subtle, that is the inner peace, the inner awareness, the silent mind, your true mind. That's why I stay there. And you will progress. You will understand many things. That is the mind that can meditate. That is constantly aware, mindful, relaxed, silent. For those who are not sensitive, don't worry. You just relax. Then you move your awareness down to your stomach. Feel. Again, relax every part. Then move it to your abdomen. Feel. Relax every part. Then your buttock, feel, relax. Then your leg, feel, relax. Then you reverse the whole mind sweeping method. From the leg, you feel, relax. Buttock, feel, relax. Abdomen, feel, relax. Stomach, feel, relax. Then you move it to your chest area again. Silent everything, feel, and relax. Then you move it up to your shoulder, hand, back to shoulder, neck, feel, relax. Facial muscle, do the same, feel, relax, and retain a radiant smile. Then your eye muscle, your forehead. If you want to repeat this whole process, you can. If you find it useful, can help you to calm your mind, to bring about the inner peace, inner calmness and the inner awareness, you can repeat it. Yeah. This mind sweeping method is very useful. Yeah. So when you are skillful, you can train this mind to be at the location you want it to be. You want it to be at the forehead. It will just stay there. It will not run. Initially, you have to let the mind do something. Otherwise, it wanders off. That's why you feel. Then you relax. So this will help you to decondition your heedless thinking. Yeah, every time you feel and relax, you make it more peaceful. And every time you sweep it down and feel at that location, you are training your mind to be at different location at different time. And this is a very good training. So inner peace leading to inner well-being, together with the training of the mind to be mindful, has been achieved. Then now I will teach you how to stabilize this mindfulness. You can use anapanasati because that is the most conducive meditation object, neutral object that the Buddha recommended. The Buddha did a lot and he praised anapanasati because there's a lot of advantages that come with it. But it is not compulsory. You can use any method, any technique or any object of meditation that suits your personality or your past training. The purpose of all this object of meditation is to anchor the mind so that it does not wander off, does not become heedless. So when we develop mindfulness of the in and out breath, we are actually anchoring the mind to the breathing, because our breathing is always in the moment, present moment. That's why when you are mindful of the in and out breath, you are peaceful, you are just aware without thought. So maintain attentiveness in front of your nostril, like how the Buddha teach Anapanasati. He said, when you are attentive, you can detect the breathing. Then when you detect the breathing, the mind and the breath move as one. Breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. So just maintain this training. Initially, if you are new, you are not familiar with Anapanasati training, you may have problem because the untrained mind think a lot. Because of the hindrance, the habitual tendency, you will wander off very fast. Within split second before you can be aware of the whole breathing in, the mind wanders off. You are lost in thought. But don't worry, be patient. Every time it wanders off, bring your attention back to the breathing. If you are patient, you can train this mind to be mindful, and within a short period of time, depending on the personality, you can become peaceful and quiet. Because the moment you develop the stability of this mindfulness, the mind that is always mindful of the breathing will have no thought. When you are without thought and just aware, you become peaceful, very calm. Then you will start to experience a type of peace that they call piti. Piti is a spiritual calmness, spiritual joy, a spiritual rapture that arises when Anapanasati develops, when mindfulness develops, when you are peaceful, mindful and without thought. When this arises, you will like to meditate, because this is a very beautiful mind state. Experiencing piti, then as you relax and develop it further until it's more and more refined, you will experience what they call sukha. Sukha is a more refined state of piti. It becomes very blissful. You can really feel the bliss within. There is so much bliss, not only joy, you become so blissful. But this is not an enlightenment state or enlightenment factor. This can cause attachment, craving, and when you want it repeated, you will have suffering. So when you experience sukha, you just relax further into it and allow it to be. Then allow this Anapanasati to go on itself until you are very, very relaxed. Relax into every mind state that arises. And don't try to know, just silent. Then this piti leading to sukha will transform further to become pasati, or what they call tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. During that time, your mind becomes so quiet, so peaceful, so subtle, until the breathing also like no more breathing. And the subtle breathing becomes so subtle until you cannot really feel it. During that time, don't go and do all those labeling again, sitting, touching, or what, forget about it. Just silent your mind, completely silent. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Allow the mind to settle down on its own. Then, after a while, as this capacity stabilize, it will have the ability to detect even the very, very fine, subtle breathing. It's like internal breathing, like you hardly breathe. But that movement, that very fine movement, can be detected. Because when your mind is in sati, everything is like magnified. And there is no thought, it's just the awareness within. So I will leave it to you to train your mind until you reach this state of inner peace, inner awareness and inner mindfulness, or tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. That is the meditative mind that you need to train. And this is the mind that can develop the meditation. And it can understand many things. Then all of the essential Dhamma that the Buddha teach, like the five mental hindrance, the five spiritual faculty, the three evil roots, the four noble truths, the seven factors of enlightenment, etc. You can witness them, realize them within your own mind, within your own form of mind. Yeah. So now I will stop the instruction. Then I will ring the bell after about 5 to 10 minutes. Yeah. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who still have the peacefulness within, and you already have enough for the meditation, you can slowly come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. For this is the mind state, the meditative mind state that you need to cultivate the daily mindfulness. The mindfulness of the four postures accumulating into the daily mindfulness of sati sampajana, or mindfulness of all action, all movement in the present moment. Okay, then we will move on to the invocation to the devas. Turn to page 6 of your chanting book. I will read the English translation. Oh, okay. Then I will lead you all in the chanting of this. Okay. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good teachings or doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Okay, we shall chant together. Samanta Chakravalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkhadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Iti Piso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vija Sarana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusana Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditadbu Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nanyapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichi Patipano Bhagavato Savaka Sango Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atha Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savaka Sango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati. Then the next page, huh? Since we are going for the spiritual trip soon, we will need to learn this one, the four objects of veneration. Vandami cetiyang sabbam sabbatane supatititang saririke datu mahabohing buddha rupang sakalang sada vandami cetiyang sabbam sabbatane supatititang saririke datu mahabohing buddha rupang sakalang sada. The third chanting we will chant in English, so that you know the meaning. I salute every shrine or chaitya that stands in any place, the bodily relics, the great Bodhi tree, and all the images of the Buddha. These are the four main objects of veneration. So when we are on spiritual trip, you will visit temple, we place, where there will be this stupa, symbol of relics, together with the Bodhi tree, it will be nearby. Then the Buddha images, most of the time, also can be seen in most places, especially the main shrine. So these are the four objects of veneration, where we will recall to mind their spiritual significance, their religious significance. And through that, we develop the faith, the sadha, the virya. Then through our spiritual faculty, our mindfulness, we will tap. We will be able to tap the good vibration from all this way place. There will be a lot of very good, pure energy, good vibration from cultivator, from their relics, and from that nature within that vicinity. So this is something we need to develop through understanding, so that when we are there, we can together do the chanting. Okay? So now we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then we pay homage to Triple Gem. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, you can be seated. Then we shall continue with our second session. Second session is meditation reporting, followed by question and answer. You can ask whatever question that is related to the meditation or the teaching. Then we will teach you how to understand them. Then at the same time, how to apply what you have learned here, especially the Buddha Dhamma and the meditation, so that you can apply it into your daily life to allow you to understand life and overcome or solve all of your life problem or situation that you encounter. Okay, now we open it up. Anybody wants to report meditation, you just put up your hand. Or you want to ask any question also, you can. Anybody? As usual, very quiet. Now, today we got a lot of questions and program lined up already. So our first one they recommended is Mifong share her experience. Maybe pass the mic back to her. She went through two very, very significant events. Before she went out to Thailand, Wat Na Long, she actually experienced, was it 10 days? 10 days? Yeah, 10 days. Yeah, 10 days of seminary program. Somebody teach her how to own the thing.
Hello.
Good. Then after that, she went off to Wat Na Long, where she had this beautiful way place to do her self practice, but because of the vasa, I think, it seems the cook, I was told by Sui An, the cook also want to meditate. So the cook can only cater for long pause meal. Then the rest, they have to take care of their own. So in such a foreign place, not easy. Then I think Mi Feng got some gastric issue and all those things. So she decided to come back a bit earlier. That's why we have her here with us tonight. And we should rejoice with her wholesomeness. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then we can hear her sharing. It will have a lot of benefits, not only to her, but to all the rest, so that you can understand. Okay, yeah, Mi Feng.
Hello, hello. Yeah, thank you, Brother Teo. I'll start with the Samaniri program. It's 10 days. It was something very impromptu that I decided to join. I never had the intention before, but when I was asked, I thought, yeah, why not? Just give it a try. But as I grow nearer to the program, actually, I had some fear. Yep, I was very attached to my hair, to be very honest.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to anticipate.
Yes, no problem. Huh?
So, but surprisingly, it was a very, very good experience.
Oh,
fine. In all, it is an experience of letting go, to build up my daily mindfulness, as Brother Teo, you always advised us, and to look within.
Sadhu.
I explained that.
Very good.
When they shaved my hair, I was actually joyful. I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
I was very joyful, and I felt light.
Yeah.
And I felt free.
Good.
And when I reflected later that I was actually letting go, not just of my hair, but I let go of a burden.
Yes.
My attachment to my look.
Yeah.
Yeah, which as a woman.
Yeah.
Yep. And once that was done, I actually felt very free. And this letting go of the look, throughout the program there was actually no mirror around. And and we follow the 5-8 precepts, so one type of soap is for everything. Moisturizer, no eye cream, so we let go of that. And also we let go of all the comfort I used to have at home. Sleeping on the floor is no issue, but let go of the handphone, for example.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's different. This is Samaniri. So they took away our handphone, no watch, and so it was a very good experience. Program is very compact, and they cover many things. Very full and compact. And I also let go of like and dislike of my
very
food.
Good. Very good.
It was really an experience just eating to sustain
this body.
And what helped me with that was we eat out from an arms bowl. With all the food mixed up.
Yeah.
Your dessert, the dessert, the curry, the vegetable,
everything.
The fruits, rice, everything mixed up.
Yeah.
And we are not given like spoon and all, so we ate with our hands. But that experience make it very conducive for me to observe the sense of taste as it really is, like it is soft, it's hard, it's sour, or it is sweet, with no like, no dislike, and no attachment, no desire of wanting a certain food. In somehow that experience came in, and I was actually at that time was saying, hey, how come this is like so different? Just seeing the sense. The sensation as it is.
Yeah.
So that was a very good experience.
Very good.
Yeah.
I just add on to that a bit. In fact, the renunciate life is for people to experience the true meaning of renunciation. You off that one. It's causing some distortion in the mind. Good. You see, first, like me from experience, is the shaving. Not only you give up the hair or what, you will come to realize you have renounced even your own appearances. Krishnamurti call it image. You remember? We are looking at images. We are not looking at the being, the person, the false form, the characteristic within the form. So we attach and cling on to images, appearances. That's why we are very sensitive to change when we get old, because we don't understand this. And the attachment has gone in for so long without you knowing it. So renunciation is to allow you to give up. Although before he used the word, let go. It's that word, if you understand, it's okay. You don't understand, because like I always explain, without wisdom, you cannot let go. The giving up of something is not a letting go. Because without wisdom, you cannot let go. You will cling, you will attach. You are willing to give it up because actually when you understand, it's for a greater cost. But sometimes because of the renunciation's program, the requirement, you need to shave. And I remember Alicia used to say, can I attend with the exception not to shave? So there are people who are there. But it's a good experience. But not everybody need that experience, understand? Because I went through my own training before. And I understand all this because that was the time you really cultivate. Especially I go for spiritual trips. The early day I used to go and travel to many places, especially Thailand, and sometimes to Australia, New Zealand, and other places to visit my teacher, especially Achayantra, and all the spiritual trip where we need to accord and flow. Wherever we are, we have to eat the local food. Then when you are a renunciate, you go for alms round. You're no longer like a lay person, can be choosy, you know, tonight where do we eat, or which one better. Then like Mifong said, you can choose your food, then you can eat accordingly. But then you experience the reverse. Because as a monk or as a nun, when you renounce, you have to go for alms round. And you cannot decide people give you what. And you cannot be choosy. As long as allowable, the three types of pure milk, whatever is offered, you receive. Because this is the synergy. You have to reflect. And your mind state will be different. Instead of complaining over the food, wow, now we experience that we have to eat all together. But our daily reflection at the retreat, you remember? Yeah. That is a very good training. We rejoice with the wholesomeness of all those who have made this food possible. That as a renunciate is different. Especially when you cultivate. You need to constantly remind yourself, like the Buddha reminded the monk in the chanting book, retreat chanting book is stated there. The 10 contemplation and all those things. We have to be worthy. First is, we have to be worthy of offering respect and all those things. So this will drive you to cultivate. Then it will allow you to experience and observe how your mind actually stir and develop all this. When the conditions are different, you are so used to the lay life, all of a sudden like Mi Feng say, everything becomes so different, so simple. Then she experienced that type of light that enabled her to accept that reality. And through that, that's why the light and dislike become like no more an issue like last time. But this is the reality. This is what the renounced life, the renounced life is all about. It's a training, understand? Train your mind not to complain, understand? Not to react, to accord, to flow, to be at peace. Because in a life of a renunciate, you got no choice. You don't even have a place to call your home. You have to, wherever the shelter is, whatever the food. Sometimes you have to go without food. You go to, like to Tangamang, you move around. You have to go for arms round. Certain day you don't receive any food. You don't have food. Then you have to withstand the weather, the harsh weather, the cold night, the mosquito. That's why they give you netting. They give you something to take care of yourself. So these are the life that you will experience as you become a renunciate. And this is for you to reflect, to contemplate, to be mindful. Then how that tradition come about, the synergy between the lay people and the Sangha. When you are worthy of offering respect, in return, you provide the fertile ground for them to receive this type of merit through their offering, through their rejoicing. Then you share with them the Dhamma, you give them the blessing. Then of course, like you say, the program is very packed, very hectic. But sometimes it depends, too hectic. If the participant don't understand, it loses its meaning. But when they understand, it's very meaningful, very useful. That's why, to me, the more important thing is to impart the understanding so that people enter this renounced life with understanding. It's a training. That's why the precept, the Patimokkha, is about training, undertaking the training rule to do all this, so that you are ever mindful. Mindful of the sponsors who sponsor your whatever samaneraship. They're mindful of all the things that people help to make possible for you. That's why a lot of volunteer went and help in so many ways. But in the actual forest tradition, you don't have so much of this facility. Actually, a lot of time you are on your own. And sometimes you don't know where they send you. Like Ajahn Chah, he liked to, after the disciple, after they ordained for a while, he will give you a few months of good life in the main temple. After that, he will send you to one of the remote places. That is where they test you. Then luckily now they got Wat Pat Nanachat. So that is the place where most of the monks would like to stay. Well, that place is very conducive. We got one Kayamita, I think Mimi, together with Joyce, always say, in Cantonese they say, if you want to like make use of that place to cultivate, it's like you don't have to worry about food. In Cantonese, what they call Chong Kei Fan Piwa. Joyce. Lifetime meal coupon. Means you just have to go there and cultivate and meditate. You know their Pindapala. So much food and all very good food. I was there for a few days. I tell you, one day, one meal, and now you won't get hungry. Because the food was so good and so much. But it's a good training. But wherever you go, you can actually experience that even in your daily life. That's why when I travel, you will have this opportunity to train. Then even when you are at home, you may have all those things. But I tried before. I slept on floor before, hard floor and all those things. And no problem. Because when the mind understands, there is no problem. But the training is useful if you don't understand and you don't have that type of mindset and ready for all this. So there's a lot of people like to participate to become a monk or a nun. Yeah. Because there are many things, many, many things that you will never, never experience. And the Patimokkha is very conducive here. Everything is about mindfulness. 227 precepts. To remember them also is a great feat. Lady more, 300 over. But they don't teach you all the rules. They don't give you the full set. Only 10. Yeah, so there is a lot of other things that is in the training. But you don't worry. This is very good sharing and good experience. So we let me phone continue. Okay, yeah.
Hello. Yeah, just add on to what Brother Teo. Actually, it's just 10 precepts. But then we have certain called Sikya rules that when we are in robe, we have to conduct ourselves. Like, we cannot laugh out loud or, you know, so just because, the devotees pay respect to us. So there are certain conduct. But put that aside, it is also a very good experience for me to improve on my daily mindfulness. And let me explain. The program, first of all, is very compact. Wearing the robe actually is a problem to many of us because it's just a piece of cloth. And you have to roll, and if you are not careful with it, the whole thing can just drop off. I had this like when I kneel, because never mind, but it is just a piece of cloth.
Yes.
But what on top of being a samaneri, I was asked to become the class monitor. And being a class monitor, the role very quickly added on a lot.
Yeah.
So I became like the person to make sure everybody comes, go to the class on time. I became the complaint bureau because when somebody snore, the roommate snore, they come to me. When they cannot find their blouse, they come to me. When there's mosquito in the room, they came to me. So it was at the point when I became very stressful.
You were
almost wanted to go to Venerable to say, can you change.
Somebody to take over.
And then I reflected, and I remember Brother Teo always remind us to be mindful of whatever at our sense door.
Correct,
Sound are just sound.
Yeah.
Visual objects are just visual objects. And then on top of that, in one of the sessions, the Venerable reminded us that when the Buddha taught us to avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind, it is for us to purify our own mind, not for us to purify somebody else's mind.
Yeah.
And I started to look within myself on reflected on why do I feel agitated?
Yeah.
And with that, give me an opportunity to improve my mindfulness, and it works. And when I started look within, actually the stress and all those is from myself.
Correct, yes.
Yeah. And it was so beautiful when I can see that.
Yeah.
It just doesn't affect me anymore, and I was able to very peacefully manage all the situations. So it is an actual experience of
good
being
training.
Able to
good
to
training,
practice. So it was actually very, very good. That talk about renunciation, letting go, my mindfulness, and looking within. I move on to Wat Na Long.
Okay, good.
So the last bit about Samaneri, it is just a very valuable experience for myself. And yep, it is a beautiful experience. Now the Wat Na Luang is totally a different experience. It is still of learning like I still use the word let go to accord and flow, like what Brother Dio, you always tell us to, because the circumstances changes. And also to improve my mindfulness and look within. But the challenges in this case are quite totally different. Number one, after Susan left, Susan went with me, and after Susan left, I probably is the only foreigner among all the upasikas and the yogis and all. So it became like automatically silent. My mind do still chatter, but it is silent in the sense I can't talk to anybody because they are all local Thai. The environment is quite challenging because of the rainy season. And the food, actually breakfast was resolved. The kitchen people were so kind. They actually cook a little bit more. And let me have the porridge.
Oh, good.
but the food is still one of the limitation because it is just, they serve only vegetarian. And so sometimes it can be like very, very limited. So, but that wasn't, you know, the only factor. The other thing is actually I fell down the stairs on the very first day I arrived in Udon Thani. I just fell down. I broke the fall by grabbing onto somebody, but I injured my spinal. But I didn't want to give up. I just keep asking for forgiveness. Brother Dio, you always remind us.
That one very useful.
Every day. And the pain improved less, but it is still there. So I got a little bit worried after almost 3 weeks. I decided to come back and have a proper check because a TCM doctor that happened to visit checked me and she said it is at the spinal. She actually concluded that my bone is been injured, but I still do not know. I still do not. There's still some pain now, but it is a lot better. So
you have seen the Sufu?
Seen the Sufu. I've been to the Qigong one that Sister Yun Chan recommended. They said it will take time to heal. But at Wat Na Luang, it is also a very good condition for serious practice because there's nothing to do except to meditate. So you go walking, standing, meditating, and all the daily activities still have chores to do. We sweep the leaf. I swept the the place and all. And in mindfulness. So I think during that time, my daily mindfulness improved.
It will improve.
It is just the environment is such that it just naturally improved, and I think it gave me opportunity to learn to stabilize my meditation too, and manage my hindrances. It is, and of course to manage the loneliness alone in a kuti.
That one is the main issue for most people, but it can be overcome quite easily. So this is very good because her sharing, I add a bit, you're off the mic, Imam Mifong. You see, this type of sharing is very good because Mifong very sincerely tells us everything, even how she felt and how she injured herself, then how she went through all this thing. That's why the next time you go, I will teach you this because the condition is there. This one is the best. Every time anything happens, later on you will have this ability. You not only feel the suffering or the misery, you will laugh. Then you will just endure because you know, happened already, what can I do? This is the Dhamma. This is what I have to learn. The noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. Then when you smile into it, then you understand it, then you rejoice for the condition to let you learn and develop all this understanding. Then what you need to do is, like I always remind the Kayanamitta, actually it's from my teacher, Ajayendra. Inside okay, outside no problem. Inside not okay, outside big problem. So all your problem come from inside, not outside. Understand? Huh? But the mind tend to react and blame outside. Why I so sway? How come like that? Then our tendency is, of course, we try to ask for forgiveness, repent. That is good for normal people. But for cultivator, you have to move on beyond that. You can do that one together later. Yeah? But you have to experience it and understand this is the reality. This is what has happened. And there are causes and conditions behind, like what the Buddha said. So if you reflect on it, contemplate on it, and perceive it with wholesomeness, then you have joy. Then you thank your good karma for having this condition to learn from all these things. Otherwise, the first noble truth, second turning, cannot be learned. This noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. Now I have the opportunity to experience this. Then if I can understand this, my mind will be different, will be at peace. Then when you are there, the best way to settle down is to silence your mind, accord and flow, and whatever arise, you just have this peacefulness within to rejoice. That is the reality. That is nature. Then later on, as you stabilize this understanding, and not only you don't react or stir, then you start to see what karma is all about. Why everybody different karma will experience different things and how they will get themselves into trouble and how their mind stir and do all this. So all this, I mean for me, I was lucky because of my past training. You don't have to be an enunciate to see all this, to learn all this. You're from life itself. I learned all this. And I learned all this from the career environment, the work environment, the family environment, then the civilization, society's condition, and so your friends, your colleagues, your loved ones, then your other people whom you have relationship with in the world. So many of them can be your teacher, when you know how to reflect, contemplate, echo and flow. So especially in a retreat, like you say, he's the only foreigner, they call Falang in Thai. Falang. So they speak Thai, most of the Thai don't speak Thai. So what we do is normally we just smile, then I just raise my palm, I rejoice. Quiet, no noise inside. But they know, they can feel you. And most of the time you must have the joy inside. No matter what happens, you must have the joy. You can only have the joy when you can contemplate and reflect with understanding. Means every condition that you encounter, you should reflect it with wholesomeness, blessing in disguise, so that your mind is incapable of negativity. But then you become very different. Then as you echo and flow, because you text me, you say you remember, I say silent. The meaning is very deep, very, very deep. Silent doesn't mean force yourself to be silent. Silent means understanding the condition. Then allow the mind to just be at peace. Then have joy. Have joy. Then see people, you have joy. Everything, even to the inanimate thing. Then sometimes within nature, the non-humans, the demons, you can feel them. You radiate to them. You rejoice. And there are many other things that you can actually develop the joy and then you contemplate. A lot of object of contemplation, sometimes a dead tree, a very filthy place, a very foul place, an accident. All this I learn from it. And it becomes beautiful. It becomes beautiful. Then as you develop this understanding, later on as you move, you become extraordinarily careful and mindful. You know how to avoid many things. Then you not only echo and flow, you can laugh and you can like take it as normal. That's why I like this word. We choose accept everything as natural, yeah, from my teacher Ajayantra. And this is the most profound. When you can accept everything as natural, means you accept reality. Means no negativity, no movement, no stirring and all those things. No try to justify or question or inquire. This is just the way things are. Nature's law. There are causes. Then you learn to accept the reality of the moment, echo and flow, then be with it. That's why when you echo and flow or be with it, you just silent. You automatically doesn't talk one, no? Very funny. Yeah? Then when people see you, your smile, they can feel you. They don't even want to talk to you. They will acknowledge you. They will smile back. Then when you meditate, because it throughout the day, your mind state is like that. Your spiritual faculty is developed. Then I find it very easy to sit. At any time I just relax, sit, or I lie down, I'm in samadhi. Even in the midst of daily movement, I already in samadhi. But when I silent in the sitting or in the lying down, the state is very, very different, very still, very tranquil. No thought, no movement at all, but not in concentration. That is the mind that will come. And I know about it because that time when I was in Cameron Highland, 5 days retreat, no? Second day I was already in that state. No? That's why I already knew. If I go to retreat, if I don't have to teach like you are in Cameron, I tell you, I will go back into cessation very fast. Then I will experience all those things. But last time I went through all this. That's why your mind can become like that. But if you don't develop wisdom out of it, then it becomes a condition state of experience that you experience while you are in the retreat or in the meditation center or way place. But you can develop wisdom out of it, awakening out of it, and then it's totally different. And it's during this retreat, even when I went to Japan that time, because those, they call it soja, the way place, they were very different, charged with all this pure energy. Very different. Then I can, that's why I like Japan, if you have the nature, they're very beautiful, the vibration, the pure energy. Then when I am in that state, my reflection and contemplation become so different. That's why that year when I went there with Cheng Hun, I think Chi Hong, you also know our uni mate. That was the place I came to realize my mind can just go in and become like that. Even though I already understood the Dhamma. But because of the understanding, that mind can just settle down like that. So beautiful. Then, during that time, everything is Dhamma. Whatever that you come into contact with is Dhamma. And it just come out like that. That's why when I came back after that, the nature inside like got so much thing to share. That's why during that time, my sharing become very different. Very different. So when you go for a retreat, that's why maybe next time, your first time is an experience. All this will come to you then. It's a very good like background information for you to reflect on memory. So the next time you go, you listen to this talk again because it's recorded, you will know how to settle down. And then that time you understand what I mean by just silent, don't try to know. Just accord and flow. Then have joy. Have joy. That one I forgot to tell you. Have joy. Always perceive everything with wholesomeness. And so then there is a smile in you, and people can feel you. The animal also can feel. Then that time your metta are very different. You will really, you will become very sensitive. You can feel. You know a lot of non-human. They like you. And you can feel their energy. And it's very different. Okay? So this is the condition that we have. That's why I share. So we thank Mi Fong also.
Can I just say something last?
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, all in, I stayed 3 weeks.
Oh, good.
And it was very peaceful. And
ah,
yeah, it's actually very, very good experience. Mm. And I was, this is the very first time I'm on my own.
Ah.
And surprisingly, at night, there was no fear at all. Because in the Kuchi, at night, it's just total darkness around my area.
Yes.
Yeah, I think Andren knows that. So, yeah, nobody staying in the Kuti is like, it's just in total darkness.
Yeah.
But, I was surprised. I think my mindfulness was okay. And
oh, very good.
There were a lot of peace.
Very good. Sadhu.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. We all should rejoice. Huh? Sadhu. I remember during the early day, we used to go for spiritual trail. So when we were at certain remote places, I tell you, you not only don't have a proper shelter, you know, or place to stay, you know, the weather very cold. Then the toilet, you know, like our 1960 and the 50s, when we live in our kampung, the toilet is outside your house, middle of the night, no light, like me from say, you got to find your way there. Last time, no torchlight, so, then everything is so dark. So, as a kid, you some more as a Chinese with that tradition, wow, got ghosts. I tell you, even to answer nature's call, unless really you got no more choice, you will refuse to go out. But then later on, as I went on this spiritual trip, I find no problem. I can just walk out like that. And people used to frighten us. And say, hey, got snake or no? Sometimes you step on it also, you don't know. Yes. I know, there are a lot. Even Anandagiri also a lot. Then Clifford told me one story about Joyce. Can share? About you, one, Ken. When she was young, pretty that time. So they stay in Section 17. They got very long corridor, not corridor, driveway. Then Clifford every time say, middle of the night, she like to go and throw rubbish out. Then you know what happened or not? Clifford say, on the light, no need lah, I walk this place every day when I'm familiar. So one night, he went, I tell you, there was a snake there. And he say, luckily, you know, he like got kung fu, you know, can seem the snake. Then Clifford say, you're very lucky. And he was pregnant all that time. Talk about snake, real life experience. Maybe later on she can share with you. Okay, we better end. I got some question. I think Pamasuri also got one question. I should try to answer this one. Yeah? This one comes from Christine. I think we should thank Christine for the question. Because she realized there are a lot of human suffering. Yeah? Then this one again, I think happened to your sister's mother-in-law. I think she got gangrene, is it? Is it gangrene? She got operation on the toe? Yep. Gangrene, Diabetic, lead to gangrene. This is what they call gangrene. Yeah, then it become very bad. So, until the sister also affected. So, she wrote to me earlier on. She said, good day, Brother Teo. Can help to do some metta for my mother-in-law and also my elder sister. Mother-in-law has her feet amputated twice. Sister, depression sickness, relapse. Then she sent me the photo. Then I say, okay, no problem. Then next day she sent me this question. She said, I would like to have better understanding of how when one encounter with sickness, what their immediate family members can do to help those who have to confront all this suffering. Huh? So, how can... I have to rephrase this. How can the immediate family member do to help those sick people liberate from their suffering or lessen their suffering. Then the question is followed by a few pointers that she already knew and heard before, but I think she wants to share this so that more people can understand. Is it, does liberating lives mean feng sang, as done by many believers, help or work? Or is it just a rite and ritual practice only? So this is a very good question. You remember our Eric? Yeah? Eric? He go and believe people. He go and do all this. Then he said, doesn't work. Then later I explained, he came to the class. Then only is understood. I will explain this again afterwards. Then the second part is, can we ask for forgiveness on behalf of the sick person or relative? Then the third one is, appreciate Brother Teo's guidance and teaching for us to lead those sick people, especially when they have so much fear and suffering. Then she said, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then I said, okay, I will answer it tonight. That's why we have the condition. Then she replied me, this is good. He said, finally, I still believe walking the right path with the right teacher and cultivating the real Buddha Dhamma daily is the best solution to all life problems. This is hitting the nail on the head. Perfectly right. Because all the other things, actually not much use. Blessing from Triple Gem and those enlightened teachers with good and sincere Kayanmitas is a priceless asset. You all should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So first thing first, when you see people go through suffering, when you have the Dhamma, you will know. Like the Buddha said, they are all born on their karma, heir to their karma, conditioned and supported by their karma. They are what they are because of their karma. So like I always said, 99.9999% karmically driven. Because these are puttajana, heedless beings who still don't have wisdom. So if that is the case, many of these cases, there is nothing much you can do about it, understand? These are karmic conditioning, karmic death. That's why sometimes, if it's too old, and you still want to help, no point, understand? You have to understand, even if it were to happen to your physical body, your physical form, you have to understand, this one goes the way of nature. That's why we also have to contemplate and reflect every day, the Buddha said. 5 daily contemplation. First 3 is what? This body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. And no one is exempted. But if you have your good karma, then you don't have to go through all those things. But if your karma is such that this other thing that is karmically conditioned, that's why they have to go through suffering, misery. Because this is part and parcel of what they have done in their past. So the fault is always with the individual. Well, we are born of our karma, heir to your karma, conditions, whatever. And we are what we are because of karma. Then the taxi driver is a very good example. Understand? Oh, you reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. If you are a taxi driver that don't care about the welfare of your passenger, your customer, you don't maintain your vehicle properly. You don't keep it in clean condition. You are not sincere, you are not kind, you are not courteous. What will happen to your business? If your tendency is to cheat and deceive and do all those funny things, nobody will dare to take your taxi, I tell you. And you don't understand what is going on. What you did is due to your delusion, the condition, your selfishness, your evil, your negativity of mind. Then you cause suffering to your passenger. you cheat them, you deceive them. All these are karmic debt that you have to pay. That's why you will fall, your business will fall. Then you will have a lot of other problems, financial problem. Your car will break down more often, you will get more summoned, you will get more accident. Then you keep on blaming others. Why this police like that one? Why I so sui? Why this customer so rude one? If you are not rude, you don't do all those things, the customer will be very friendly to you, like what happened to that customer. When he heard about that, he realized, if he were to change for the better, he realized he maintained good relationship with his customer, he make them happy, they feel good, they feel like safe in their hand, and you make them happy. At least during those moments when they are with you. So these are good mind state. Understand? This is what Dhamma is all about. You can bring about joy and happiness to fellow living beings. That is a great Dhamma skill. But you bring about negativity, anger, unhappiness, feel cheated and deceived by you, that is creating more negativity of mind. More negative karma, then whatever you do will come back to you. You reap what you sow. You plant the seed of evil, you will receive the fruits of evil. So do good begets good, do evil begets evil. That's why you must cultivate virtue, kindness, goodness, pleasantness, sincerity. Be responsible. Feel for your customer. And you have this mind state, you are following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and to bring about joy and happiness, not only to you, to others. You not only benefit yourself, but others. When I talk about self, it's the five aggregate of form and mind. You take care of your karmic nature. So all this is related to karma, related to your future life. Because you plant the seed of evil, you will reap the seed of evil. Having understood this, you come to the question, the three questions. Does liberating life as done by many believers help or work? I ask you a very simple question. Does it work? Yeah? They say when you are in the midst of big issue or problem, only you want to construct the toilet. It doesn't work that way, understand? You know what is freeing all those things. If you don't understand, it becomes worse. Actually, the bird that is being caged, yeah, loses its freedom, understand? And loses its ability to compete in the wild, understand? You think by liberating them, you free them, you are doing a good thing. Actually, you cause them more problem. They can't even fly and manage themselves in the wild. Then they will have problems. At least in the cage, due to their karma, they are caught, they will be fed. So then they will be sold to people who like to keep the pets and all those things. They have good master to look after them. But just because you want to do this, they go and catch all this bird and sell it to you. But it doesn't mean that there is no wholesomeness, there is no goodness. But these are worldly, mundane. This doesn't solve your problem. Well, it does not deal directly with the problem. What is your problem? Past already gone, okay? You cannot change. Understand? But the moment is the only reality in life. So now we start again. Huh? So past is already gone. This one is a reality. You cannot change. No amount of fallacy or delusion can help you. A lot of people say, if I have not what, then my life will not be what. No more reality. That word if, this one is a very taboo word. Those who have the Dhamma never use this word. But this is not the reality. The reality is, past is already gone. Means what? Yeah? Means no more reality. I cannot do anything about this. This one is out of question for me to do anything. Understand? Yeah. But the present moment, this is the only reality in life. What are you doing? This is what the Dhamma is about. The Dhamma is about present moment. If you agree to repent and change through understanding that there is this law of karma, that's why heedfulness become very important. A good religious routine become very important. To change your life, the Buddha said, the main issue is to take care of karma. Then karma take care of your life. Because the Buddha already make it very clear through his wisdom. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. So 99.999% is all karmically driven. Yeah. 99.999, yeah? Karma. So only the very small percentage of enlightened being, not to say they are not subject to karma, they are subject to karma, but karma got no power over them. You understand? Because of the wisdom, they are not afflicted anymore. And they will know how to accept that reality. They know how to accord and flow. And they will know how to develop the wholesomeness so that that karmic nature become more and more perfect. They will not be affected by whatever the condition that arise through their past coming, like the Buddha went through. A lot of enlightened beings went through. But as they cultivate, they realize they got less and less of all those, unless it is a very, very severe type of what they call karma that must ripen, yeah, before they pass away. Yeah. So Mongalana also went through that. Yeah. That's why he cannot avoid those people who actually hunted for him. Then he was clobbered to death. Mm. So the present moment is the only reality. So we must develop the training of the mind to be heedful. That's why we meditate. That's why the Buddha says, strive on with heedfulness. So that you are ever mindful, yeah, to avoid all evil, to see your mental intention, to understand what are the evil roots, to understand what are the things that hinders you from becoming peaceful, from developing the meditation, from understanding the spiritual teaching as taught by the Buddha. So heedfulness or mindfulness is very important. So to be ever mindful of the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, is what you have to do. When you have this, you will follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil. Your Noble Eightfold Path is about avoiding all evil through your right view. Then you have right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood. Then the four right effort to purify your thought. Then the mindfulness to purify your mind, to develop the wisdom. Then when mindfulness stabilizes, together with samadhi, wisdom keep on arising. So this is what you have to do. The key thing that you have to take care of is karma. If you don't take care of karma, you do all these foolish things, it will not help you. Understand? This type of karma, or so-called freeing all this bird, is very, very mundane type of merits. It's very low. Understand? Unless you see a wounded bird, like somebody shot or it fell from the tree or what, and then you go and help that bird, heal the bird, that is very powerful merits. Not the one that people cage, go and catch, that you buy free, even the fishes and other things. No point, understand not. And it does not help, because the key issue is you didn't take care of karma in the past. So you have to understand, once you have not taken care of this, the past will have a lot of this condition for negative karma to arise. You like it or not, your only chance is the present moment. Every life you arise through the form of mind, karmically. If you don't cultivate, like what Christine said, through heedfulness, through understanding the Buddha Dharma, through having good teachers, good kayanamitas, good condition, you can never reverse all this. Yeah. Then the only way to soften this past karmic hindrance or karmic obstruction or karmic condition, you can do a few things through wisdom. Through wisdom, it can help you to solve your problem. So everything that you do in the present becomes your future. Do you understand? Where you reap what you sow. So if you continue to be heedful, avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind, your future will be taken care of. But your future also have a lot of past coming into stream. So this one, as it comes into stream, you have to develop the wisdom to endure, to accord and flow, to be at peace, not to react, not to stir, not to allow it to condition you into further delusion. That's why without Dhamma, you cannot cope with the past karma. So when you have the Dhamma, you will know what to do. First thing, of course, like I told Eric, I said, you go and do all this, it doesn't help you. Actually, before that, I told Suyan. Then Suyan said, never mind, let him find out. Then he decided to come. Then luckily, he persists. Then later on, he found out. Yeah, I told Suyan, I said, he need to do three things. And these three things, you heard about it before. First is what? Because this is karma, karmic obstruction. That's why they have so much problem, suffering, that Eric went through tremendous suffering. And it's linked to disease too. He himself also has cancer. Then later on, the daughter also has. Then I don't know what happened to the wife, I think. At one time, because the wife was, I think, had to spend so much time taking care of the daughter and Eric. Then she also doesn't have to give up her job or what. Then I think she also got into some form of problem. Then like Eric say, that problem come, is there? In bundle, non-stop, keep on coming until he cannot take it. Then later on when I teach him about all this, I say, you have to ask for forgiveness. The reason why you ask for forgiveness is to break the karmic obstruction. So asking for forgiveness is to break the karmic obstruction. This one you all know, isn't it? It's in your chanting book, isn't it? So this is to break karmic obstruction. Otherwise, you know what happened, Because it's called obstruction. Obstruction means what? It will obstruct you, understand or not? Prevent you from coming out of your suffering. Even when people want to help you, bring you to somebody who can help you, because of this karmic obstruction, the karmic thing will stir and you will react and you will not want to see. Then some, beyond your ability to talk to them anymore, they are in a very severe state of depression, suicidal, lock themselves up. Nobody can talk to them. They just hate you. They just don't want anybody to come and see them or talk to them. And yet, this type of people, you can save them. Yeah. So asking for forgiveness, if they cannot do it themselves, then the loved one can do it for them. But it must have link. Either mother-in-law, father-in-law, parents, brothers, sisters, or somebody close. Even good friend also can. Very good friend. But the person who do it must be very, very sincere and determined. Then on behalf of this person, after you ask for forgiveness, you must determine not to repeat all this. Because you come to understand that this is coming. If I have caused suffering to all these beings, before. If I don't ask for forgiveness, this karmic obstruction will continue to block me. So the moment you ask for forgiveness, it's like in our society, when you admit that you are at fault and you sincerely approach a person and say, I'm really sorry for what I've caused. You know what happened? That person will turn down and say, oh no, no, it's okay. I think I also at fault. And then shake hands. God. But when you sincerely ask for forgiveness, the good thing about this is all the enlightened beings, they already have this vow to forgive all those, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that have caused them any karmic negativity, suffering, or misery, or what. May all this be forgiven. Then immediately, the severe karmic that you do to the enlightened being, straight away this one melt or neutralize. That's why the karmic obstruction, due to all those very severe karmic that you do to cultivator or very well-cultivated spiritual practitioner or virtuous people that cause this obstruction, it will break. And when this one break, very strange, a lot of things turn around. You don't ask me how I know. It's from my past cultivation. That's why I'm able to use this to help many people. Then I realize all these people who have all this, on their own, even in depression or what, slowly, slowly they will recover. But you have to do the other two things, otherwise you cannot. First is to break the karmic obstruction. Number two is to vow not to repeat all this again. So on their behalf, you keep your precepts. You cultivate merits. You cultivate virtue, blessings. Means you attend Dhamma talk, do charity, do service and help others, will have kindness, have goodness, cultivate all the wholesome things. Then invoke power of merits, by the power of all these merits. May it arise a causing condition for this particular person, can be your loved one or whatever, or your good friend, to recover to good mental state so that he or she can give back her life to be a normal living being again, so that she can have the condition to receive the Dhamma, so that she can actually bring about true change to her future life. Otherwise, no point. So when you invoke the power of all this, then the causes and condition will come. But when the thing come, when this person turn around, I tell you, you better teach them the Dhamma. But if they choose not to follow, it's up to them. Then no point. It's like drug addict. Or those who borrow money from loan shark. Until they kena chase, until they got no more way out already. They become so pressured. Suicidal tendency. So they come and threaten the loved one. You don't help me, I will die already. So what you do? Some of the parents, they pity them. Okay, this time I have you. The moment you pay the money, their problem gone. They go back to the old way, they will repeat the mistake, all I tell you. Credit card also same, whatever also same. Their habit will not change. But they don't understand the nature's law that governs life. So the moment they understand, they change. This is what the purpose of the teaching. Our Dhamma sharing, our class, is not to like, all the what you call those people who say when you got problem you go and see them like the medium or fortune teller or what, then they help you to do some blessing chanting and bye bye, or you pay money they do fast food for you or whatever. Then he said, count him. No use. They will never learn. It's just like you help them to solve their immediate problem, but they don't have the true understanding of the Buddha Dhamma. They will repeat all this. And this type of being got no condition at all. So that's why sometimes you have to reflect, if it's old age or what, why you want to get them to prolong their life? This is not filial piety, you know. This is not love, no. You know how much suffering they go through or not. That's why I saw what happened to my father. He he told me in a very sincere way in the hospital. He said that that time, I think she was about 80 years old. She was in the hospital, I think, 2 weeks. He said he's scared of the doctor already. Because he himself is a Chinese sensei, you know. He told me, he said, every doctor come, the one that look at her, he's diabetic and he's angry, also give him antibiotic. Then the one that look at the heart one, also give him antibiotic and all those drugs. Then the one that's another one in charge of don't know what one, also give him a lot of medication until he's scared of all this medication. He said, I just want to go home. Then I knew already, but I didn't give up straight away. I told my sister that she is a staff nurse there. Then later she became a lecturer there. I said, you go and check the blood test, what happened? She went and checked. Actually, the doctor didn't tell us. Majority of my father's organ failed already. The heart 70% down already. Liver, everything, having problem. Then I told my sister, okay, very simple. I told my brother, we go and talk to father. What you want, let us know, we take you. Wow, you're so happy. First thing is, asam laksa. We straight away get a wheelchair. That day I saw his joy, his smile. He was the happiest. And after he come back, he heard so much. Then I said, don't worry, we'll discharge you today. Tomorrow I will drive you back to Alastair. Me and my sister. And I can see the joy in him. That's why it's not Philippine when you say, no, we must try, even until the last prayer, you must try. You keep him in that situation. Not that I'm cruel, because I ask him, what is it that you want? So that at least he can get what he wants. Understand not? But his life, let him decide, and he will know. So a lot of things about karma is not what you think. That's why we have to accept. This is the reality of life existence. Always sickness and death, every living being must confront. So when the time comes, do not be deluded and deceived. Scared people say, wow, you know Philippine, Lubu Hao Sima. Then this thought drives you crazy. Sometimes pressure from your elders. Last time, you know what happened? My mother-in-law, because that thing was too expensive, private sector, I think. So my wife, that time government, so all free. So we actually helped to admit her to UH. Then I think GH also, there was one occasion or what. Then she had her operation and all things. Then actually she recovered. Then later on, because of coming, the same place, the car accident with the husband, the dashboard hit the same place. So admitted again, operation. Then that time, one of the son, I think the youngest one, was having marriage. So what happened was, the uncle, they all come. You know, all these uncle, auntie, the older generation one. Well, they didn't know, no. Then they say, how come my sister is not here? Means my mother-in-law and son. Then only they have to tell them it's in the hospital because she is going through this, what they call, I also cannot remember, it's fistula in the intestine and all things. Got a bag there one, with all the liquid. Not mobile one. But she survived for 5 years though because of the Dhamma and other things. And you know what happened or not? All this uncle and all this elder, straight away they put pressure on the husband, no, means my father-in-law, no, until my father-in-law was in tears. No. You know what they say? Why don't admit her to private hospital? Oh, they can even tell you, no, which one good, Asun Tawan, all the big names. Then my sister, my wife also under pressure, come back and see me. I say, very simple, no need to argue with them. They say, very good, you're very concerned about your sister. I tell you, tell them to come out with the money. Nobody answer. Everybody just walk away. Understand? Because it's not cheap. Then finally, because the father under pressure, they got no choice. So the other sister, together with the what they call brother, they agree to withdraw their EPF money. Then put her in Asunta. You know what happened? Put her 2 weeks there. Almost 60,000. And nothing changed. The surgeon's supposed to be very good. Did you know what happened? Went in for the operation, opened up, the surgeon dare not do. Exactly like what the GH surgeon said. Too messy already. Nothing can be done. Open up, cover back, come out, 60,000. That 2 weeks. Until they also cannot tahan. Then they appeal to my wife, send back to GH. Then finally went to UH. And they save so much money. So sometimes it's not a matter of spend money, private hospital means good. No. You must see the actual situation. If there is condition to spend and worthwhile to spend, by all means, spend. Understand? No? But not by doing foolish things. No? Because the situation is so clear, even GH cannot do anything. They got all the specialists there, the facility there, and the most complicated one is sent there. Understand? No? Because I run the university before last time, University Malaya. So we have a lot of link with university hospital. All the specialists, my technician know. And they told me a lot of this thing. So during that time, you want specialist, very easy. My TA, well, he is in charge of maintenance there. He said, you take care of all those professor, all these specialists. Anytime you want to see them, I can take you direct to see them. Oh, I said, no need me. I said, you take those whom you know, who need help. Then later on, my son got compound fracture. No? Wow, he very good. He took me to that Dr. Dylan, very good. Straight away, he x-ray. He tell me, no problem, he say, your son will be okay. Compound fracture. No? And he did a very good surgery. Yeah. Then he was the doctor that also saved my mother's leg, the gangrene. My mother don't believe, you know, one big hole on the toe underneath. You know. I think, like your mother-in-law, I think it could be worse than that. But your mother-in-law is the second toe. My mother-in-law is the first toe. You know. The whole thing is 75% gone. You know. That one hole down there, you know, because of gangrene. And luckily, this Dr. Dylan, very good. You know. He told me, he said, Tio, don't worry, I have healed this before. Like Dhamma, you know. He went through before. You go and look for this cream. He said, very difficult to find. Very expensive. I said, no problem. You write to me. So I went and checked all the pharmacies. So I cannot find. Then finally, I went to one in Newtown. They said, this is the biggest. You cannot find. You cannot find. So I went there. They got two tubes there. You know. See, this greedy mind, you know what I want to do or not. Because my mother, you know, I scared if I buy one, not enough, second one no more. So I wanted to buy two. No? I said, no. If anybody want to look for the other one, cannot find that, it's the worst. So I bought only one. I shall write down the word. I don't know what is it. I totally never have that thought. And my mother applied. Slowly the thing healed. No? Completely healed. No? Until she was so amazed. No? At first she don't like to go to hospital. I mean, she believe in Chinese traditional cure. After that one, any time I want to bring her to hospital, she says, sure, she will follow me. Because it's a miracle, you see. And the whole thing healed with the skin, the flesh, everything grew back. That is good karma. Of course, I did something for her. Ask for forgiveness and all those things. Then, redid all those things. But the condition is there and she can recover. And because when I was the engineer, I was very, very sincere, and I was very kind to all those specialists. I take care of their quarters and other things. First priority, I say, these are doctors. They need to have proper housing, proper place. Especially the new one that moved in. I told my TA technician, I said, you make sure it's done up properly for them because they save life. You must give them all the support. So that's why you have this type of good mind, this type of good karmic nature. When you have problem, the condition will come and you will have the condition to recover. That's why you can say our life, my family, or even my brother and sister, like very blessed. It's nothing to do with luck. It's everything to do with karma. Okay? Then we better go on, otherwise I don't have enough time. I got two more questions, but the other two are very fast. Okay, the first one we have gone through, right and reach. It's not really right and ritual, but this is a mundane merits, like you release the bird and the fishes. Not much use. So asking for forgiveness, yes, on behalf. But it must be related so that the link is there. Because karma recognizes relationship. That's why it's very powerful. That's why you need the link. Then appreciate Brother Teo's guidance and teaching for us to lead those sick people, especially when they have so much fear. So this part is very simple. You have to talk to them, especially if they are your parents. Hold their hand and tell them, this form will go the way of nature. This is reality. Not only you sick, everybody also will be sick. But when our condition is like that, we need to accept this reality and endure. Well, this could be our past karma. We have caused suffering to living beings. So this is our condition to experience suffering. That's why the DNA is coded and you will come with this. Then you say, we can help relieve all this through medical science, through understanding, through patience to accept this reality. Because when you are able to accept this reality, at least when the body is sick, like the Buddha said, your mind need not necessarily be sick. Understand? Well, there is no delusion, there is no attachment. So when you can endure this, next time when you go through this process of sickness, even when you fall or what, I tell you, you experience it. That's why the Buddha said, this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. You will understand. When you accept that reality and start to endure, that's why Sabba Asava Sutta says there are certain defilements that you have to endure. And this is endure. Yeah, this is so when you endure, initially it will still do on you like that, like the tactile consciousness. It's like remind you of the pain and all those things, the suffering. But I tell you, when you can be at peace with it to accept the reality, that this is a reality. Like I always say, we got two choices. React to it and become miserable. Your mind also sick. Accept the reality and be at peace. And you will be surprised. No matter how severe the pain, you can endure. Because there is no reality. So when attachment ceases, the two, awareness, mindfulness, and the thing, detach, separate. This is the first jnana. Nama rupa paricheya cheda jnana. The mind is the mind. The body is the body. Able to distinguish between form and mind, nama rupa. And all this can be experienced through mindfulness, through awareness, through acceptance, through endurance, through wisdom. The mind is free. That's how the enlightened being endure. So this part, when you understand, you will not be afflicted. Then there is another part. Okay, to lead all these sick people, especially those who have fear. This is the second part I want to let you know. You must hold their hand, talk to them nicely. Remind them of their good deeds. Remind them of their good fortune, like I used to tell my mother-in-law to, and my mother, even my father. I say, you already have a very good life. You did your duty so well. You took care of us all. We are all grown up, mature, successful. You have a lot of joy. Then I remind him about the New Year resort and all those things. Hakyao. His memory come back. My mother also, the memory come back. They're out of China already, out of suffering world. And this type of joy make them feel very good and very happy. Then I always talk to my mother, even when my father passed away, when she was crying because the elder said something, I held her hand, expressed the sincere love, care. Then she trusts me, she listened to me. And when I talk to her nicely, she understands. You only need to be sincere. Hold them, talk to them. Make them feel good, feel safe. Feel the joy, remind them of good things. Talk to them so that they can smile, they can laugh, they can have those moments of peace, happiness and joy. No point trying to force them, must see doctor lah, go lah, take this medicine lah. Then the worst is, they say, doctor say cannot eat fat, no. Char kway teow also cannot, no. Then the famous, what they call, Hokkien cha also cannot. Wow, gao lah. I tell you, when you are old, when you are so sick, your children tell you all this, I tell you, pity you. Means last time you must have stopped your parents from all this. My parents never stopped them from all this. That's why you got children who say, what you want? Let's go. Of course, you may not like asam laksa, but my father like asam laksa. So a lot of these things you can do, understand? The Dhamma part, you have to do it on their behalf initially because they are in that situation. They cannot turn to do all this. But if they have the karmic root, if they can understand on the music for them, like Christina did for the mother, the Amitabha chanting, Kuan Yin, Amitabha, Amitabha, Amitabha. You play very soothing. The vibration is very good. Good for the house. Good for the environment. Good for the Dhamma protector. Then, after that conditioning go in, then they become more calm, more peaceful. Like what Christina did to her mom. The last 1 over year, she took care of her so well. And she passed away peacefully, like she said that day. So these are the things you can do for your loved one, your parent. That's why the mother didn't really suffer that much. Initially, she was so worried because the brother, sister, all were so worried. Then later on, when she took over and took care of the mother, and the mother turned around and become so happy, so peaceful, they were so surprised. Christine last time, the character like that can become like that. That's why there was so much joy. And in the funeral, she helped a lot of the brother and sister. And she invited me to the wake to give a Dhamma talk. That was the first Dhamma talk in the wake. Sally one was the second one. So, because of Kayanamita, otherwise I won't go. And so don't say, hey brother, you go there before, next time I who. We are immediate one, no problem. But if no, don't make this like the what they call, and those who one sick one. don't treat it like, wow, any problem I come, brother Tio one, the metta, the chanting, or you forget about it. It's not for that purpose. It's to save living beings so that they are out of delusion, so that they can change their life permanently for the better, not only this life, future life, so that they can be a blessing to all, so that this work they will carry on and help those who have affinity, so that this number can grow. That is the purpose. Otherwise, become sincere, become doctor. That's why Dhamma teacher is different. but some Dhamma teacher want to be famous one, then different again. The best one is nobody know you one. Then we don't have problem. Like now, very good. No more problem. No controversy. We don't try to like outshine anybody or say bad thing about anybody. No. They are just the way they are. They are beautiful because they have good intention. They also propagate the Dhamma. They also share the Dhamma. But they have their own way. Understand? So when we understand, we respect them for what they are. And the more people who do this, is better for the community, for society, and the consciousness of the world will improve, will turn around. And this is what Dhamma is all about. Okay. Oh, sorry. Exceeded 5 minutes. Sorry, Pamasuri, you write down your question next time. Saturday, how's that now? Okay, you write down, write down. All those who got question, write down. Saturday, how's that now at Sister Ku's house, yeah. You got your map there, right? Oh, opposite Wisma Kompland. The Subang Parade, after Subang Parade, huh? Oh, the next row, then very easy to find. You all reply to the WhatsApp better. Nobody reply. Oh, got 20 already, is it? Oh, she know lah, got people. Yeah, quite a number will be going. You can be sure me and my wife will be there. Then you want to hear the question, you come. And it's very wholesome. As Kalyana Mitra is a monthly gathering, which is very beautiful. Then October we will have our annual gathering of Kalyana Mitra, the traditional gathering, which is very meaningful and very wholesome too. Actually, just now on the way here, you can spare me another 5 minutes, Kenna. On the way here, we were discussing in the car, PG and Alicia, they were with me. So this one got extra class. So we were like discussing. Then I told them, I said, actually now time like move very fast, you realize or not? But I realized another thing. When you have this mindfulness and heedfulness, and when you can do a lot of Dhamma activity, I realized that even move very fast, but there was so much thing done. Yet, we thought it's already very long ago. I explained to them just now, I said, you just imagine this year alone. We started off with what? Our retreat in there. Then after that, I think May. Not May, March. I went to Japan with Alicia and family there, Hokkaido. And there was so much activity. Then after that, Perth trip, Melbourne trip in May, you remember? Then I come back, Paris, London. Then we got our Monday gathering and all those things. Then our Tuesday class, Thursday class, Sunday class, Friday talk. The way we share our Dhamma, I tell you, is fantastic. And all these classes, I tell you, you listen to the recording, it's fantastic. Then I told them, I said, after this, next month, Kelantan trip. Then October, 1 hour long. Then after that, Anandagiri, Katina, everything. And I tell you, time may appear to you move very fast, but Dhamma like very slow. A lot of things got done over such a short period. Then I thought our Mediterranean trip was very long. It was only last year May, Mifong? Our Mediterranean trip was only May last year, we thought very long ago. My wife told me 2 years ago. I said, no, last year. That's why a lot of things like didn't really move that fast. But time to you is like very fast. One week, very fast. So now already August. So Chikwe Pua, already. No need to worry about ghosts. You got Dhamma protector. Why you worry about ghosts? Okay, we better end. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits. Then we will do the closing puja. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata ca bumata deva naga mahindika punyantang anumoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana itta watta ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sape deva anumodantu sampati sidya idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo, idang me nyatinang hotu. Sukita hontu nyatayo, idang me nyatinang hotu. Sukita hontu nyatayo, ibmina punyang kamena. Mahami bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then there is this book, which is very good. I think I have given out to only a few. Understanding awareness in every breath we take, every thought we create, and every move we make in cultivation. This was based on a short transcript on the Q&A section of the recording done during the Dhamma talk delivered by me at Tiratana Center, Klang, on the 27th November last year, 2015. So you don't have, you can take a copy. They are here. Then as usual, we are not around. We would like to thank PG and Alicia for fetching me here and accompanying us. Sadhu, sadhu. Then also maybe we should thank Mifong and Suyana for allowing us to use their way place. For our Dhamma session, sadhu, sadhu. Then also all Kanyamita who has helped out to make the offering for tonight's puja. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then lastly, I rejoice all Kanyamita who has the condition to attend this session. It's very wholesome without you knowing it. But it will be recorded in your comic book, don't worry. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. I tell you, this type of condition you can never find for many, many lives. So when you have the condition, make full use of it. Then aspire. Whatever you want to overcome, you can overcome. Okay? No need. Because we cannot be doing all this from because yeah, sadhu, 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 sadhu. Because this one is different, Christina. It's your sister side and your mother-in-law and all those things. We don't want to make it into like everybody say, what you do for Christina, you don't do for me. It's different. Last time your mother is different. even NB one also we didn't do. The mother-in-law we didn't do. And it was Jim's mother because he doesn't want it. So no point. All this no point, I tell you. Even we do also doesn't help. But the Dhamma is more important. More important is for your sister and you to help them on behalf because of affinity to ask for forgiveness on behalf and all things. So you already know what to do. And with your Dhamma, you should feel it and share with her like you share with your mother. Unless she doesn't have the condition, then different. Then don't have to force yourself. Understand? You see the condition. If there is condition like your mom, no problem. Everything will fall into place. So you have to echo and flow. You cannot one thing your way, then suffering. Affinity. If she has treated you well, then different. Understand? Then the condition will arise and all those things. So it's meant to be on. You will know on. So no need to worry. You're after all not so real. Not what you think. He know you, he know me. It's condition arising, dependent origin, anything. Okay? Yeah.